I don't have any notes tonight because I want to read a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit. There are many in the body of Christ that when we do what I just did and they don't see something happen immediately, in their minds, they will say, I just want to see a little success. I want to see something positive happen. Just something positive. That's not what God is after. That is not what God is after. God is not after success in our lives. Did you hear me? God is not after success. He is after victory. He's not after success, ladies and gentlemen. You are past that. When you got born again, you got past success. You went into the land called victory. Say it with me. Victory is where I live. It's where I live. Praise God. Praise God. I was listening to a message by Brother Tim Stemple. It was called Staying on the Path. As he was going, as he was ministering that message, the Lord dropped in this word that I'm going to read to you tonight. Then I asked him, you know, what do you want me to do with it? And so he took me to John chapter 11. So we're going to be in John chapter 11 tonight, and that's the only place we're going to be. Okay? But I want to read this word to you, and then I want to read John chapter 11. Okay? The title of the message tonight is called Victory, Not Success. Victory, Not Success. There's a difference between walking in a level of success and walking in a level of victory. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When he started giving me this, I'm thinking, you got to help me see this, Lord. So he gave the whole thing to me, okay? And then I said, okay, let's go back to the dictionary and see what the word success means, and then let's go and see what the word victory means. Oh, boy. There's a difference between walking in a level of success and walking in victory. So in the dictionary, the word success means degree or measure of succeeding. Did you hear me? A degree or measure of succeeding. Favorable or desired outcome, also the attainment of wealth, favor, and eminence. That's what success means. But I want you to see that it's a measure of something. It's not the whole thing, right? And you know, who does the measuring of that something? The person who's seeking the success. You are determining success based on what happens in your life. Do you see that? Okay? Listen to victory. Victory, the overcoming of an enemy. Yes. Or antagonist. An achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulties. Can I say victory is where we live? Yeah. Victory is where we live. Okay? There's a difference between walking in a level of success and walking in victory. But sadly, many in my church don't know the difference. They're like little children who taste success and think that they have received an answer to prayer. But victory is more than receiving an answer to prayer. Victory for my children is a lifestyle. Victory is where we live. Victory is all that they know. Anything less than victory is a foreign concept to my children. Sadly, we all know that victory is a foreign concept to the body of Christ. I'm laughing, but I'm telling you, my heart is crying when I make that statement. Victory is not something that the body of Christ is accustomed to. But when you were born again, ladies and gentlemen, when God's life and nature replaced that old sin nature, victory resided inside of you right then and right there. It's already in you. You have to bring it out. You have to bring it out. But you have been conditioned to accept success rather than victory. You have been conditioned to believe that success is what I am after in the kingdom of God. I am not after success. Success is not going to win souls. Success is not going to be, and he used a term that Barry understands, using a term familiar to you, Barry, success is not a game changer in the kingdom of God. Victory, complete and total annihilation of the things of this world in your life is the game changer that Satan fears. I'm going to read that again. Victory, complete and total annihilation of the things of this world in your life is the game changer that Satan fears. Because see, right now, when he sees many of us in the body of Christ, he doesn't see a threat. He doesn't see people that he has to be concerned about. I posted on, I may have mentioned this before, but NFL Network has what they call a football life, and they run it. They run a different one every night, every Friday night. This particular one that they ran was about a running back named Christian Okoye, who was the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs back in the late 80s and early 90s. Now, Christian Okoye was not your typical running back, okay? Christian Okoye was 6'2", 6'3". He weighed 265 pounds, and he ran a 4.3 100. He was fast, big and fast. So one of the guys who was doing the interview says that, and he was a defensive lineman for the Oakland Raiders at the time, he said that when Christian Okoye was running toward him, he made a half-hearted attempt at trying to tackle him. And so the guy says, you know, why did you do that? He says, I made a business decision. I made a business decision. And see, for us in the body of Christ, we're not forcing Satan to make a business decision. We need to force him to make a business decision. When he comes up to Elvina, no, I think I'll go deal with somebody else today. I'm not dealing with Elvina. I'm going to deal with someone else today. I'm not dealing with Tabitha today. I'm going to find someone else. He's making a business decision. And see, many in the body of Christ are making business decisions every day and don't know it because they're not going on the offensive. They're trying to avoid everything that they can avoid instead of standing up and being, listen to me, standing up and being who they are. Okay? Victory, complete, and total annihilation of the things of this world in your life is the game changer that Satan fears. My son walked in victory. Can I get an amen? Amen. Read the Gospels and you'll see this. See, his was not a walk of success, but a walk of victory. He never failed. Did you hear me? My son never failed. On the inside of us lives the capability of never failing on the inside of us. But see, there's too much of the outside of us that's preventing the inside of us from shining out so that failure becomes an obsolete word in our vocabulary. My son never failed. He was not successful in life. He was victorious in life. He conquered, he ruled, he dominated. He had the final say in every circumstance and situation he faced in life. I read that and I thought about Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, 28, when God said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over all the things that my hand has created." We were designed to conquer, to rule, to dominate. That's what we were designed to do. I often think about the messages that come out of this pulpit. And when you think about those messages, most of the time, I would say 8, 9 out of 10 times, it's not anything that's really new and earth-shattering. What those messages do, they build on a foundation that has already been laid, trying to help you see just another part of that foundation about who you really are and what you are really capable of. That's what happens in this church and in churches like this. Constantly building on that foundation to get you to one day see, oh, he's talking about me. He's not talking about Jesus anymore. He's talking about me. And then you start walking and acting like who you are. I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Barry is not there. That's not a confession of defeat. That's not a negative confession. That's a confession that says, I recognize where I am at this point in my life. But I know where I'm going, where I want to be, because Jesus has made the standard for me. So I can look at the standard and see where I need to be based on where I am right now. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. I freely admit I'm not there. But I tell you what, I am not going to be here 5 years from now. I'm going to be somewhere up here 5 years from now. Because I'm not going to stop until I look in that mirror and I see Jesus. I'm not going to look in the mirror and see Barry. I'm going to look in that mirror and I am going to see Jesus. You know why? Victory is where I live. Amen? He conquered. He ruled. He dominated. He had the final say in every circumstance and situation he faced in life. This is a life of victory. This is a life born of my loins. That is a life that can only be found in those who live with me. So don't accept success in your life. Don't settle for anything less than complete and total victory. Did you hear what he said? Don't settle for anything less than total and complete victory. Who has the responsibility now? We do. We do. Because our Father's already told us, you don't have to settle for anything less than that. So if you are getting something less than total victory, you're settling. It doesn't feel good to hear someone say that, but that's what's happening. You're settling because you are accepting something that Jesus would not accept. You are accepting something that your Father would not accept. And if you are willing to accept anything less than complete and total victory, trust me, the enemy of the soul is going to find what you're willing to accept that's less than total and complete victory. He's going to find it. And when he finds it, he's going to go after it. I'm just telling you, that's the way he works. That's the way he works. Don't accept success in your life. Don't settle for anything less than complete and total victory. Total and complete annihilation of all the enemy's wiles directed at your life. What is he telling us, ladies and gentlemen? He's telling us that Satan has no power over us. None. He has no power over us. You know why he has power over us? Because we don't know that he does not have power over us. We don't know that. We don't know that. As a body of Christ, we don't understand that. I look forward to the day that Barry gets up and the curtain is pulled back and I walk into that life that my Father has been waiting for me to walk into with all its fullness and with all its authority. Because the bottom line is, when Barry walks the way his Father wants him to walk, he's going to be a conqueror. He's going to live victorious. And he's going to bear fruit in his life. He's going to save souls more than what's going on now. Amen? Live as my son lived. Model his behavior. Do what he did. Live in victory, saith the Lord. Now, for me, this paints a completely different picture of what I am supposed to do. I am not supposed to have success here, success there, a miss here, a miss there. I'm supposed to have victory all the time, not success. Victory. Victory. Because see, you can have a measure of success like the dictionary defined it, a measure. You can be on a line here and you move up the line, that's a measure of success. God doesn't want that. God wants the line obliterated. There's no line for God. It's success, period. Period. And we need to get the attitude that that is who we are and that is how we're going to live. We have to do that, people. We have to. Because if we don't, those who follow us are not going to know what success, are not going to know what victory looks like. They've never seen it. So when they follow us, they're going to say, what's that? We're following you, Mom. We're following you, Dad. We saw how you lived. We saw what you didn't conquer or did conquer. We have to give. Since Jesus modeled the behavior that we're supposed to model, then we need to start modeling it. Period. There is no excuse for not living like a son of God. Amen. Like a daughter of God. There is no excuse. None. None. So stop living like there is. Excuse me. John chapter 11. We're going to look at Jesus' victory walk. Or if you want to put it this way, we're going to look at his victory lap. Because this is just one. This is just one example. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany. Verse 1 of chapter 11. The town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus walked in victory. He already knew what was going to happen. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he, Lazarus, was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, a lot of people said that a lot of commentaries say that Jesus spent 2 extra days where he was because, according to Jewish custom, a body had to be in the ground 4 days to really be considered dead. That was Jewish custom, to be in the ground 4 days to be considered dead. But let's read on. Now, when he had heard this, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Boys, giddy up. Let's go to Judea again." Notice again. His disciples said unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again?" Do you see what the situation is? The Jews were waiting for Jesus. Okay? And look what Jesus says. "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world." Okay? If you are walking in the day, you won't stumble. You won't get caught off guard because you see. Verse 10. "But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light that's shining about." Is that what it says? What does it say? In him. What is Jesus talking about? I am listening. I am following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The light that's in me. That is why I didn't go 2 days ago. Because of the light that's in me. So now you know why he didn't go. Yep. "These things said he after that. He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, listen, he's just tired. Let him get his rest. I mean, he's bushed." And Jesus said, "Okay, let me put it to you. Let me put it to you this way." I know. "He's sleeping with the fishes." I know. He's dead. I have never seen that movie, by the way. I passed by when Stephen was watching it. Then said the disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of his taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Jesus is saying that one of the reasons that Lazarus died and I was not there, because I want you to see the example of what you are to become. I know that's not what it says, but when you read in chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that's essentially what he's saying back here in chapter 11. Okay? "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." He chose him. That's all I got. He chose them. He knew what he was getting to. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still." You need to be ready for this. "Then said Martha to Lee, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, Lee, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. Judy, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Do you see where we need to be? Then said Martha unto Elvina, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. So Martha is standing in front of you saying that, Sister LaFay, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that if you would pray to God, he will live. Do you see where we're going? Do you see where we need to be? Then said Martha unto Nina, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, Nina, that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give to thee. It puts a whole different light on this record when you put your name in there. And see, so many of us, you put your name in here and you realize that, wow, I'm putting my name in the same place as Jesus' name, but I'm not there yet. My point, until you start seeing yourself in Jesus' place, the works that Jesus did, you are not going to be able to do. I'm going to say that again. Until you start seeing yourself in Jesus' place, the works that he did, you're not going to be able to do. Then said Martha unto Jason, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, Jason, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. When we pray tonight for Nicole, my believing, my faith is, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. That's where I am. That is where I am. That is where I am supposed to be. Then said Martha unto Gloria, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. One more. Then Martha said unto Cindy, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, Cindy, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And see, the world, ladies and gentlemen, need to have a people that when they approach their father, they get from their father what they went there for. That's what the world is seeking. Can you imagine how different things would be with radical Islam if we had enough in the body of Christ who were walking at a level that when they went to their father and made a request, it happened? Can you imagine the radical Islam? They have lined up Christians. They have, 10 of them they have executed. You go over there, one by one by one, you say, live. One by one by one, they get up. You want to talk about making a difference in this world? You want to talk about people seeing Jesus right now? You want to talk about people not criticizing Christianity anymore because they see what you are doing in your life because of your relationship with your father? You want to see that happen? We have to want to see that happen. Otherwise, it's never going to change. It's never going to change. It's up to us. The crowds came when Jesus did the miracles. The crowds came. And what the miracles did, the miracles allowed Jesus to preach the kingdom of God. That's what the miracles did. The miracles was just to get them in so that he could teach them. So he could teach them. And see, we need, ladies and gentlemen, to be at that place in our lives that by the life that we're living, victory is where we live. Because of the victory is where we live, when we walk into a situation, victory walks in with us. And everything that related to victory happens with us. Can you imagine how many people would stop and want to know who you are? And you know what you're going to say? You're not going to say, my name is Judy Newman. No, you're going to say, I am a daughter of God Almighty. That's why I was able to do that. Who you are becomes immaterial because you are going from glory to glory to glory. Because you want to look in the mirror and see Jesus. I want you, as of tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when you read the Gospels, you put your name in there because you need to be Jesus for somebody. Somebody needs you to be Jesus. Somebody needs it. You don't know who they are. But what they will know you because you are Jesus for them. Now, I'm not saying you become an idol or anything like that, but everything Jesus represents, everything Jesus is, you have become that for them. Because otherwise, they're not going to see it. They're not going to spend time reading the Bible to find out who Jesus is. They need Judy Newman to walk in the door, being the daughter of God that she is, for them to see Jesus. They need Jeremy, Christian, Joshua, walking through the door, being who they are, sons of God, walking in all the authority and power as sons of God. You live in victory, ladies and gentlemen. That's where you live. When you leave the place tonight, go home to where you live. It's going to be new to you. Because I just told you that's where you live, so it's going to be new. But enjoy it. Because God needs for you to enjoy it. Amen? Everybody please stand. Victory is where you live. Always has been. You just didn't know it. You may have known it, but you didn't know it. My prayer after tonight is that you really begin to know you live in victory and that you won't settle for anything less than total and complete annihilation of everything the enemy is trying to do in your life. Amen.